I didn't mean to stomp on the moment. Well, they sat down first. I'm just... The trials may come. You know, last week I was talking about the Miami Dolphins.
That's a trial, myself.
Talk about trials. In case you haven't noticed, the Miami Dolphins are no longer going to be on CBS. They're now going to be televised on the Comedy Channel. I know not all of you follow football, but so you know, there are 32 teams in the NFL. Miami is ranked 117th. God was trying to help us blow the Patriots out of the stadium. He sent a tropical storm, and Miami missed it. If you follow baseball and you're familiar with the poem, "There is no joy in Mudville," there is no joy or party time for Dolphins. For Dolphin fans, we are losers. But the good news is Jesus loves the lost.
Yes, he does.
He does. Jesus loves the lost. We read that in the scripture all the time. We hear about Jesus loves the lost. Not everyone does. Not everyone does. Not everyone cares about the lost. And in our passage today, it opens up, the Pharisees are upset with Jesus because he's hanging out with... Before I go too far on that, let's not be too quick with our paintbrushes, painting the Pharisees as villains. Instead, perhaps, we should look in a mirror and see our resemblances. The Pharisees weren't always what we want to pretend that they were. There's a lot of similarities between us and the Pharisees. Have you ever noticed how we want mercy for ourselves and judgment for others? How many of you have standards? You have standards with employees or co-workers. You expect them to show up at work on time. You expect them to do their job. You expect them not to cause problems. You've got standards. Those are good, reliable, responsible, righteous standards. You've got standards with your family, standards with your friends. You expect them to be honest. You expect them to be dependable. You expect these things. We have expectations. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse, you have expectations. If you have children and they're growing up, you have standards. I think I've shared with you all before when Marlena was coming of an age and I knew she was going to be dating in a little while. You know, and at that time I was involved with prison ministries and going over to the Glades and Martin and all these really serious criminal places. And I'm going to all these places and all those guys are telling me stuff I don't want to hear and all that. And I've got a daughter and I'm thinking. And so they said, what are you going to do about all of that? And Brian, you know, Lorelai, you know, four or five more years. Let me share with you my standards. These were the standards that I told Marlena. Well, I didn't tell her all the standards, but these are the standards I had for boyfriends. The first standard was that boyfriend is coming to the door. You honk your horn, you might as well just keep driving by. This ain't no ice cream truck. You better come early, because I've got some questions. Just you and I, we're going to have a conversation. You're going to show me your driver's license. You're going to show me proof of insurance. You're going to take me for a drive. I want to make sure you know how to drive. You're going to show me your gas tank. How much gas is in your car? We're not going to have running out of the gas. What are your tires like? We're not going to have any flat tires. We're going to have a vocabulary test. Do you know the word no? and what it means. I have standards. I'm going to call your parents right now just to make sure we have some kind of a conversation and relationship. And so I would go through all of this, and then when you're finishing up, you thank the nice young man for sharing time with you. And then you say, as you look them in the eye, you say, just remember this. I've been to prison before. I don't mind going back. No problems at all with her dates, let me tell you. I didn't know your dad was an ex-convict. He's not. He's a minister. Took the edge off when she explained it. But when you first say it like that, you have standards. The Pharisees were the standard bearers of their day. If it had not been for the Pharisees, after the exile, there's a very good chance that Judaism would never have made it. The Pharisees were the ones who tried to hold the people together, tried to hold up the standards of God, tried to hold themselves accountable, tried to hold other people accountable. Did they fail? Yes, they failed miserably. They ended up becoming self-righteous hypocrites. But their intention had been to hold up standards. Are you seeing any resemblance? Do you not see that we sometimes try to hold up God's standards? Do we not? Do we not try to hold ourselves accountable and other people accountable to those standards? Do we fail? Yes. We fail miserably. Anybody here besides myself guilty of being self-righteous? Anybody here besides myself guilty of being a hypocrite? Or am I the only one? All right, so we understand this. When we hear about the Pharisees and how they were grumbling against Jesus, all right, before we go running ourselves over to Jesus' side, understand where we are. Understand who we are. Understand what our need is. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus talks about the shepherd. And the shepherd, if you'll notice, if you were hearing that parable, does not leave the 99 safely in the fold. There's a song that says that, but that's not what the scripture says. He does not leave them safely guarded in a pen. He does not leave them protected. He doesn't call one of his shepherd friends to say, hey, can you watch my sheep for me? I got to go find... He leaves them in the wilderness. The wilderness. If I'm one of those 99 sheep, I'm thinking, what the heck are you leaving us for? We're the good ones. We've been obedient. We've been faithful. We've been nice. This doesn't seem very efficient or fair. You're leaving 99 really to find that one? Nobody likes that one. That's why he's alone. He doesn't have any... No, this isn't a... That's the risk that Jesus is willing to take. That's what Jesus is saying the parable for. It's a terrible risk to leave 99 in the wilderness to go and search for the one. But that's what Jesus does. And then when the shepherd finds that sheep, brings him home, he calls his friends, he calls his neighbors, he says, rejoice with me, rejoice with me. Come on. Do you think that they came with judgment and snide comments? Do you think when they showed up, they said, well, if you had been a really good shepherd, that never would have happened? Can you imagine them coming up to him and saying, well, you know, I've never lost any of my sheep. What the heck were you doing leaving 99 in the wilderness? What were you thinking? Do you have any idea what could have happened? Do you think they scolded him and made snide comments? Or did they rejoice with him? That was the whole point, was to be able to rejoice, not judge. Rejoice with him. When the woman lost her coin, did you see, did you hear what she did? She didn't just moan. She didn't sit down. She didn't give up. She didn't give in. She got active. What did she do? She started searching. She's looking. She's lighting a lamp. Is she lighting the lamp for the coin? No, it's not like the coin knows there's a lamp lit. She uses the lamp to help her see better. She sweeps the floor. She's actively looking and searching. And then when she finds that coin and she calls her friends, she calls her neighbors, and she says what? Rejoice with me. Rejoice with them. Could you imagine the joy that they all got together when they got in the house? And oh my God, I can't believe that happened. You must have been so afraid. Oh, you have no idea. What did you do? I had a look, and I went over here, and I went by the bed, and I went by the mat, and by the chair. My word, where did you find it? I found it over there. Oh my land, that must have been Hey, you got any more punch? It was a party. It was a party. Everyone is rejoicing. And that's what Jesus is trying to say about the kingdom of God. It's a party. It's a celebration. It's finding those who are lost and celebrating that they're able to be back with us. It's all about joy. The kingdom of heaven is about joy, not judgment. It's about a party, not punishment. It's about God's grace and not our goodness. As you know, years ago, Diane and I were a foster family. And we mostly had the babies, the crack babies and all of that. But sometimes we had others who would come in our program or come into our home. And one of the times we had a young boy named Kyle. Kyle had, you know, understand in foster system, they're not coming from a nice situation. Kyle had been neglected, he had been abused, and his parents were now accused of murdering the younger sibling. Kyle was in third grade. Andreas hadn't even been born yet. Marlena was just two or three. We had zero experience with the school system. But he was a student at North Grade Elementary, which was close to our house. And so he was in the third grade. And I took him to his class, his teacher's name, I still remember, Mrs. Hunt. Mrs. Hunt, it was like the first week in September. He is still new to the class. I introduced myself to her. Explained who I was, explained that we were going to be the foster parents for a while until a more appropriate family member could be found, and what could we be doing to help. And she didn't know Kyle that well. She'd only had him for a couple of weeks. But she reacted. She reacted with such kindness and thoughtfulness and gentleness and compassion. Kyle could barely write his name. There was a problem in the class with his behavior, acting out inappropriately, doing and saying rude and terrible things, not paying attention. So we got a lesson plan from her. How can Diana and I help Kyle be better focused? And she gave us all these tips, wonderful things. And one of the things that they had in that class at that time is they had a spelling test. Spelling test every week on Fridays, there was going to be a spelling test. But she had explained to me, I didn't know about red lights and green lights and yellow lights and all kinds. And there's blue lines that they have to, it was all this stuff that you have to learn. I had no idea. But she took the time and she explained it to us that it had to do with behavior and all of that. And every day that I would pick him up, she would always find at least one positive thing to say. Was he on green light today? Well, no. But he did hold the door open. Okay, we'll start with that. We'll go with that. You go in and then you learn. They've got a chart with the kids' names, and then you can find out if you're red light, green light. You know, mostly he was in the non-green section. But every day that I picked him up, she had something positive to say. And Diane and I began to work with him on the spelling words. And that first Friday, when we come, I come to pick him up, and she talked about the word that he got right. Made no mention of all the words that he got wrong. Focused on what he did right. And we worked with him, and we worked with him, and he began to respond. And it was a powerful moment watching this happen. And that week in October, on that Friday, I walked in, and it was a party. Kyle had got 100% on his spelling test. She made a big presentation. It was just a pencil. That's all you won when you got 100%. You got a pencil. You would have thought it was a gold medal. Kyle is beaming. The class is clapping. They're standing. They're cheering. Beautiful. Beautiful moment. And you just hope that not only was that a victory for us to celebrate that particular day, but that it would give him hope that his life had a future, that his life was going to be bright, that his life had all kinds of opportunities before him to enter into the joy. That's what Jesus is doing with these parables. He's explaining to us what it's like for God, what it's like for him, what it's like to receive people who have been lost. It's not about repentance. A coin cannot repent. It can only be found. And when it is, everyone rejoices. The kingdom of God is a party, and a table is prepared. It's right here. It is a table of grace. And you don't have to bring anything. In fact, you're asked not, all of us, asked not to bring anything. Don't bring your self-righteousness. Don't bring your judgment. Leave them outside the door. Come as you are. Celebrate and enter into the joy that God has every time someone receives his love and his grace. Amen. Amen.